Okay, good. Chodesh. Welcome to Cheshvan. And we are starting the last three words on Daf Nun Amabez, Amar Rav Papa. Amar Rav Papa, the Gemara has been discussing the issue of what is the Ikar Shira that the Levim did in the Beis HaMikdash. Is the Ikar Shira with the mouth, singing, Ikar Shira B'peh, or is it Ikar Shira B'kli, is the Ikar Shira using a musical instrument? And that is nafkamina, is about whether you're allowed to use a musical instrument that is not metal, and whether the Shira is Docha Shabbos or Docha Yadav or not as well. So we're going to continue learning about that topic in the first part of today's, the first Amud of today's Daf, and then the second, the bottom of the Amud, and the Amud base, we'll get back to Divrei Agada, mostly about Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Okay, Kitanoi. So Omar Papa Kitanoi. So Papa says, really, this is a Machlokas Tanoim about whether Ikar Shira B'peh or Ikar Shira B'kli. The Tzan is a Mishnah, says an Erchin, right, it's really a Mishnah, the Tzan, Avdi Kohanim Hayu. Who were the ones who were doing the Shira, whatever the Shira constitutes in the Beis HaMikdash. Who did it? So the first opinion was Avdi Kohanim Hayu, Divrei Rabbi Meir. They were the Avadim Kna'anim of the Jews. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishpachas Beis HaPegarim, Mishpachas Beis Siparaya, these are names of families, Imam Hayu, they were from this place, Shoyim Asiyin LeKahuna. What's important about these families, but they were Yisraelim. They were Yisraelim who are Miyuchas Yisraelim, but you would marry them off to Kohanim without having to check, you know, about their lineage, because you knew for sure that they were special Miyuchas families. Therefore, they were the ones that did the Shira in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Chanina ben Atikinus Omer, Levim Hayu. They were Levim. So three different opinions. Were they Avdei Kananim? Were they Yisraelim Miyuchasim? Or were they Levim? So Maila B'Hakamifliki, says the Gemara, isn't the basis for their argument as follows. Demanda Amar Avadim Hayu, according to the first opinion who said that they were Avadim Kananim, Kasavar Ikashir Bepeh. They must hold, that opinion must hold, that the Ikar Shira is with singing, Ikar Shira Bepeh. And our Gemara seems to assume that if you say Ikar Shira Bepeh, so therefore whoever you want could use the instruments. That's not the Ikar part of the Avodah, but so that's why you're allowed to have Avodim Kananim, because Ikar Shira is Bepeh. Umandam Levim, and according to the third opinion that says it has to be Levim Hayu Kusavar Ikar Shira Bekli, they hold Ikar Shira Bekli, and therefore the instruments are an integral part of the Avodah, and therefore only Levim are allowed to do it. So isn't that what they're arguing about? So isn't it a Machlokas Tanam, our issue? Says the Gemara of Tisbara, but there's still a problem. What about the middle opinion? Rabbi Yossi. What about Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi allows Yisraelim Yuchasim. So my Kasavar, what does Rabbi Yossi hold? I Kasavar Ikar Shira Bepeh. If Rabbi Yossi really holds Ikar Shira is Bepeh, and therefore he should have the lower standard, so why should he require Yisraelim? I feel about the Nami, even Avdei Kananim should be good enough. I Kasavar Ikar Shira Bekli. If he says like the higher standard, the Ikar Shira is Bekli, all the Yisraelim are included in the Avodah, so then Leviyim and Yisraelim low. So what's his middle opinion? How can you require Yisraelim Yichasim? What's that opinion? So you can't say the Machlokas is about Ikar Shira Bepeh and Ikar Shira Bekli, because his opinion doesn't work according to either of those Shitos. So this Brisa, this Mishnah, they must be arguing about something else. El Tekuli Almei Ikar Shira Bepeh. Really, everybody agrees Ikar Shira is Bepeh, with the singing itself and the instruments are secondary. And therefore, if this was the only issue, we would say you're allowed to have even Avdi Kananim to be involved. But really, the following is a machlokas. The Mar Savaracha Avimaisa. No, this is just who they used to use. Why they used to use these people? So we'll see in a second. But Gemara says this is who they used to use, and that's what they're quoting their sheet. So my nafkamina. Why did they use? Why did each of these opinions hold of these groups of people? The following: lemaalin miduchin leyuchsin lemaisa kamiflagi. The issue is when people see somebody singing in the Beis HaMikdash, are they going to immediately assume that, oh, they're singing in the Beis HaMikdash, this is a Miyuchas family. Oh, I'm going to marry into this family. Or are they going to assume, hey, he's singing, he must be a Levi. I'm going to give him my Maaser Rishon. Do people have the right? Do they? And once they do, so then they have the right, because Halacha takes it into account, do they have the right to assume and make that jump? that if somebody is on the duchen, if somebody is on the platform, meaning they're like we say, duchening, right? The Kohanim go up to the duchen, because duchening is really a platform like they used to have in the Beis HaMikdash. So can people make that jump and be ma'aleh and go up from the duchen to yuchsin, to marry them to miyuchas families, ula ma'aser, and to give them ma'aser rishon, kamifli? That's what the machlokus is about. And now the Gemara explains each of the opinions. Ma'at amar avadim hayu, according to the opinion that says there were the avdei kinanim were the ones that used to work in the Beis HaMikdash, and they used to do the singing, kasavar ein ma'alem miduchun liyuchsin v'lo ma'aser. That opinion says nobody ever assumes anything. People are singing, so people will think, okay, people will not take the next step to miyuchas or to ma'aser, and therefore you can have whoever you want doing the instrument playing. Ikashir is bepet. So anybody you want can do the instrument playing, because really nobody makes any jumps. Umandamar Yisrael Hayu, and according to the middle opinion that says that they were Yisraelim Yuchasim, you know why you need that? Because Kasavar Mahalami Duchun Yuchsin. Because people make the jump that once you are doing the instrument playing in the Beis HaMikdash, so it must be that you're a Miyuchas family. So that's why you have to use Miyuchas families. Halacha takes the Metzius into account. Avalola Meiser, but people will never give this person Meiser. They wouldn't think he's a Levi. So therefore, you don't have to have him be a Levi. Vikmandam or Leviim are you, according to the third opinion, that you require Leviim to play the instruments, ksavar ma'alin midochin bein liyuchsin bein lemaiser. Because that's because people make the jump automatically from duchin to yuchsin and maiser, and that is why you have to have Leviim. The Rambam paskins, look at the Rambam on this mission in Erechin, in the Pirush Mishnayos, the Rambam says, halacha lemaisa, there's no machlokas about who does the singing in the Beis HaMikdash. The singing is done by the Leviim. The only issue that's debated here is the instrument playing. Who plays the chalil, who plays, but everybody agrees that the Leviim are the ones that are doing the singing. Hakom odim she'en omer m'sashir ki'im ha-Leviim, aval nechleku ba'osam ha-menaginim al-ashir, levi she'ikir shir b'peh. So that is the Rambam Shita. The Tosfos in Tainis seems to leave open the possibility that no, that which seems to be against our Gemara, how Tosfos assumes. Tosfos is there in Daf Chav Zayin says, Lakach hakol ksheirim, if you say ikashir bepeh. Even if you say ikashir bepeh, which our Gemara assumes that if ikashir bepeh, so then obviously only Levim could do it, Tosfos says not. Lakach hakol ksheirim afilu psulim afilu mamzerim. Lo marshira to lo havi ala bepeh. No ikashir bepeh means this is not so significant. Not that you're playing an instrument; it's just bepeh. So whoever wants to sing, can sing. Again, that's not how the Rambam assumes, but that is Shita Tosfos there in Tainus, that it's possible that non miuchasim leviim will be doing some of the singing. But that is the discussion of Tosfos and the Rambam. Period. Next, there's going to be more action on the bottom of Amud Aleph today and Amud Beis. So Amalav is going to go pretty straight. Revere Baraba Amar. This is a second opinion, which we had the first opinion yesterday. We had a machlokas yesterday on the seventh line on Nun Amabes. We had a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda and the Chachamim. Whether the Chalil, whether these instruments that they used to play, whether Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says the Chalil is even Docha Shabbos, and the Chachamim say it's not even Docha Yantif. That was the machlokas we had yesterday. So, approach number one in the Gemara was Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef yesterday, let's remember this opinion, because the Gemara is about to ask a kasha on Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, that machlokas, whether Chalil is even Docha Shabbos or not even Docha Yantif, is only about the Shir Shel Karban, meaning the song that was sung by the Karban Tamid. But everybody agrees by the Shir Shel Shoeva, that the Chalil, the extra musical instrument, everybody agrees that that's not Docha anything, because that's just an extra, that's Chibu of Mitzvah, that's Hidr Mitzvah. That was the way Rav Yosef limited the Machlokas. Again, Machlokas is about the Shir of the Karban Tamid, but everybody agrees the Shir of the Shoeva is not Docha. Now we get to the second opinion. Rav Yerbia Baraba Amar, Machlokas B'Shir Shel Shoeva. No, the Machlokas is by the Shir Shel Shoeva. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda savar simcha yisir nami docha the Shabbos. A big chiddush of Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda that he holds that the simcha, the instruments that were played by the simcha beis haShoeva, are also docha Shabbos against our Mishnah at the beginning of the parak. The Rabbanan savar simcha yisir ain't docha the Shabbos. The Rabbanan say no, extra simcha that we have by the simcha beis haShoeva is not docha Shabbos. So that's the machlokas. Aver b'shir shel karban, but the shir by the karban tamid, so that different hakol avodahi b'docha the Shabbos. But the shir of the karban tamid, everybody agrees that even the instruments are part of the real avoda, and it would be docha Shabbos. So it's a machlokas between Rav Yosef yesterday and Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba today. What is the limiting? How do you view the machlokas about whether Chalil is docha? Mace face. The Gemara asks a question on Rav Yosef, the first opinion we had yesterday. Because the Brisa says, Shir Shoshoeva Dochas a Shabbos. Rav Yosef or Yehuda, the Chamom Rav Yantavin a Docha. So it seems to be pretty befeirish. There's a Brisa that says, the Machlokas is by Shir Shoshoeva. The song by the Simon Beshoeva, which fits it according to the second opinion that we just had. But according to yesterday's opinion, what did Rav Yosef say? Everybody agrees by Shir Shoshoeva that it's not Docha Shabbos. So it's befeirish against Tiyufta to Rav Yosef Tiyufta. So it's a Kasha on Rav Yosef who said that everybody agrees by Shir Shoshoeva. Lema. So what does this Brisa say? All this Brisa discusses is the Shir Shal Shoeva, this is singing by the Simchas Beis Shoeva. The Brisa does not say any mention of the Shir Shal Karbon. So can we make any inferences about the Shir Shal Karbon from this Brisa? Lema b'Shir Shal Shoeva u'depligi. Can we assume that when the Brisa says the Machlokas is about Shir Shal Shoeva, it means it's only by Shir Shal Shoeva? Aba b'Shir Shal Karbon divrei hakol docha zeShabbos. But by the Shir of the Karbon Tamid, everybody would agree that it is docha Shabbos. And if that is the proper inference, then we'll reject Rav Yosef on both of his statements. Lema tevi tetzur Rav Yosef b'tarti. So then, if that's true, if that's how we read the Brisa, then we reject Rav Yosef both parts of his statement. Because what did Rav Yosef say yesterday? The whole machlokas is about the carbon tamid, the shear by the carbon tamid. But everybody agrees by the shear shel shoeva. So we already knocked out his second part of the statement. Because here is a machlokas by shear shel shoeva. But he also said there is a machlokas by the carbon tamid. So can we be medayik from this Brisa that everybody agrees by the carbon tamid, and Rav Yosef would be rejected on both sides of his statements? Rav Yosef would say, no, there's no right. He doesn't talk about it. Pligi b'shir shoeva v'hodin l'karbon. You're right. I have a problem with the second half of my statement, but who says the Brisa is against me in the first half of my statement? Maybe there's a machlokas also by the shear of the carbon. So why does the Brisa record the machlokas by the shear shal shoeva and not the shear shal carbon tamid? That's just to teach you the chiddush of Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda, that filo shoeva namidachi, his chiddush that he says even the song of the Simchas Beis Shoeva, which is extra, which is Simcha Yaseira, that is also Doche Shabbos. So don't bring me any kashas from the inference of the Brisa. I'm not rejected. The first half of my statement is not rejected. So Gemara says, it isn't? I'll prove to you that it is. V'haktani, go back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah at the beginning of our parak. What parak are we in? Parak ha-chalil. So zeu, chalil shem simchas beis ha-shoeva. She'enu docha lo ha-shabbos lo ha-yantif. Our Mishnah says that the chalil of simchas beis ha-shoeva, zehu, this chalil is not docha shabbos ha-yantif. So we're medayik from our Mishnah. Zehu deino docha. It's mashma that our Mishnah is saying an opinion that this is not docha Shabbos or Yontif. This chalil, avol karb to carbon docha. But it would be docha shir shel carbon of the carbon tamid. So Mani, who is our Mishnah like? Our Mishnah has the opinion that there's somebody out there that the Khalil is Docha Shabbos, one Khalil is Docha Shabbos and Yontif, but one Khalil is not. So the Simchas Beis Shoeva Khalil is not Docha, and Mashal, the other Shir, the other Khalil, is the Shir Shal Karbon. So who is that opinion? So Inim Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda, if it's the beginning of Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda, that doesn't work. Why? Ha'amar Shir Shal Shoeva Nami Docha. Because Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda says even the Shir Shal Shoeva is Docha Shabbos and Yontif. So that can't be the opinion of our Mishnah. So Elolav Rabbanan, it must be that our Mishnah is the other Shita of the Rabbanan, and what do you see? You see from our Mishnah that they would agree that Shir Shal Karbon is Docha Shabbos and Yontif, and therefore that is a rejection of the other half of Rav Yosef's statement. Tiyufta, the Rav Yosef Petarti Tiyufta. So we end up saying, yes, Rav Yosef's statement is rejected on both counts. Number one, what he said, that there was a machlokas about Shir Shal Karbon Tamid, so that is not true. It sounds like that everybody would agree that the Shir Shal Karbon Tamid is Docha. And the other half of his statement, that there is a machlokas about Shir Shal Shoeva, that there is no machlokas by Shir Shal Shoeva, that everybody agrees is not Docha, that half is also rejected. Period. That finishes that discussion. So now we go to the Makoros. My time at Demand to Amarek Yashir Bakli. What's the reason, what's the Makar to say that the Iker Shira in the Beis HaMikdash was the Levium singing, not the Levians playing the instruments? Where's the source? Techziv, as the Pasuk says in Divrei HaYamim, Vayomer Chizkiyo lahalos olala ha-mizbeach. Chizkiyo says to bring the carbon up on the Mizbeach. Uve'eis heichel ha-ola, and when they start bringing the ola, heichel shir Hashem, v'ha-chatzotzros v'al yedei kli David melech Yisrael. So you see, they start doing what's called the shir Hashem. And how is the shir Hashem described? The shir Hashem is described with clay David melech Yisrael. So you see, shira is b'kli. That's the first opinion. My time up. Demand Amar Ikashira Bepeh. What about the second opinion? What's the source for saying that the Ikashira is with singing and not with instruments? Dichsiv, as the Pasuk says there too. Vayhi ke'echad la machatzrim, v'la mishorim la'shmiya kol echad. The ones blowing chatzotzrots, which are trumpets, those are not called instruments in halacha. They're trumpets and singing la'shmiya kol echad. So in this pasuk, there's no mention of clay shear, of chalilim, and of kinoros and mitzaltayim. So that's the other makar. So what does each one do with the other source? According to the opinion that says the ikar shir is bepeh. So what do they do with the first pasuk that mentions a kli? So hachikamer, you have to put a comma into the pasuk. Heichal shir Hashem bepeh. No, they started singing with their peh. That's the word shir is referring to with the mouth. Al yedei kli David melech Yisrael lufsu mekala. And they also have instruments in the background to, you know, add instrumental music to help out, to make it more beautiful, but not that that is an ikar definition of the shir. V'idach nami, what is the second opinion? According to the opinion that says ikar shira is bikli, haksiv ahika echla machasim lamashorim. So what does he do with the second pasuk that makes no mention of kelim? So hachika amar, this is how they read it. Mishorim dumi de machatzrim. Compare the singers to the trumpet players. Ma machatzrim bikli, just like the trumpet players use an instrument. So do the singers use an instrument. Okay, that's the end of our discussion. Again, there's more to talk about. Ikashir Bepe, Ikashir Bekli. There's a lot of lumdis in the Shitas Harambam and others, but we'll leave it for now at that. Next Mishnah, Masnisan. Mishalora, famous line. Mishalora, Simchas Beis HaShaweva, Lora, Simcha B'Yabba. Whoever did not see the Simchas Beis HaShaweva has never seen true Simcha in their lives. The Ian Yaakov asks, what is this teaching me? That was a great simcha. So that's the message of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. What do I have to know this for? L'ra simcha miyamav. So he has one line. The Ian Yaakov here in the Ian Yaakov. Laharosba, it's to teach me something. To call Ela Charvu Ubatzlu Ba'avonenu. All of this we don't have anymore, this great simcha. Ukshenachzer b'tshuva shlema, yachzer kol eile kahena v'cheena v'nizken la'ayin la'rasa Elohim zu l'asecha v'mher v'yameinu ame. It's to teach us what we're missing. To teach us the godless of what the simcha used to be like, and therefore we should try our hardest to daven and to really want it back and to have the teshuka to have it back. The Ritva notes that there's a maimar in Tainus and Baba Basra that says, lo hayyam tovim li'Yisrael ketubah b'chiyam ha'kipurim. So Gemara explains why those 2 days are so great. But how do you put that chazal together with this one? That simcha, the greatest simcha was Simchas Beis HaShaweva. Then we have another chazal that says the greatest days of Klal Yisrael were Tu B'Av and Yom HaKippurim. So the Ritva says it depends, Beis HaMikdash versus outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Lo, there was no greater simcha ever in the Beis HaMikdash as Simchas Beis HaShaweva. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur, that experience is anywhere in the world. Obviously Yom Kippur has the avod in the Beis HaMikdash, but the kapara aspect and the nature of the days, those are special even outside the Beis HaMikdash. One hosafa on what a chazal that we mentioned yesterday, having to do with Simchas Beis HaShaweva. Tosfos yesterday quoted the Yerushalmi on top of Amabez, on Nunam Abez. The Yerushalmi says, where does Beis HaShaweva come from? So we spoke about the Machlokas Rashi Rambam yesterday. Does it have to do with the Nisach HaMayim? Does it have to do with just Simchas HaChag? Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi, where does the word Shoeva come from? Shoavim Ruach HaKodesh. They drew Ruach HaKodesh from that experience, and Tosfos says, and that happened to Yonah. Yerushalmi quotes Yonah. Yonah came to the Beis HaMikdash, and he got Ruach HaKodesh. So there is a Medrash. Rashi quotes his Medrash in Sefer Yonah. There is a Medrash that says that the reason that Yonah ran to Tarshish, ran away, because he wanted to go to Chutz Laaretz. He didn't want to have this Ruach HaKodesh anymore. He was he didn't want to go to Nineveh. So he ran away. So some of the Mefarshim asks what he thought going to Chutz Laaretz would help him. He wouldn't have Ruach HaKodesh anymore. We know that Ruach HaKodesh is not Shorah in Chutz La'aretz only by a Navi who didn't start off in Eretz Yisrael. But Yechezkel, for example, they say, how could he have seen had Nevuah in Chutz La'aretz? Because he started off in Eretz Yisrael. As long as your first year of Nevuah is in Eretz Yisrael, then the Hemshah could be outside. So where was Yonah running? Why did he think it would help to go outside of Eretz Yisrael? He was still getting Nevuah there. Because his first Nevuah was by Simchas Beis HaShaweva. He had a Nevuah already. He had a Ruach HaKodesh already. So says the Einei Shmuel, quoted here in the Birei Hadaf. He says, no. He says, when do all this klal apply? When do the usual klalim apply? If you're a Navi here, then it's Mamshech and Chutz Laaretz. That's only if the proper channels of Nevuah were followed. Look in the Rambam Hilchos Yisod HaTorah. You have to do Hachana to be a Navi. You have to have a Spodidus. You have to meditate. You have to reach the level of Nevuah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you Nevuah. If that's the case, and then you're a regular Navi, you've reached that level, so then that could continue in Chutz La'aretz. But here, this was an exception to the rule. Yonah came to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. You didn't do any Achanis. You just went there. Boom! You got Ruach HaKodesh. You got Nevuah. So that type of Nevuah, that was a Humshach in Chutz La'aretz. So that's why you ran to Tarshish, because that's a different type of Nevuah. That was a special gift from HaKodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, that you come to the Beis HaMikdash, and I'll give you a special experience. That's a Hosafa on the discussion of Yonah. But the Nevuah, well, did it continue? Well, when did he end up speaking? When we see, well, first the whole story happened without Nevuah, he was punished, and then he ran away, and then he was ready to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after he got spit out of the whale. So maybe then he was ready again to he was making himself. Where did that Nevuah take place after he got spit out of the fish? Gotta look in the psukim. What? It's unclear exactly where he was. Where did the whale spit him out? So, okay. So that's the first line of the Mishnah. Whoever never saw Simchas Beis HaShoeva never saw a true Simcha. So now the process, the avoda of what happened was described. Last parak we had how they did the Nisach HaMayim. So now we have how they had the party. But Motzoi Yantif HaRishon Shel Chag, on Motzoi, the first night of Yantif, Yardu LeEzras Nashim, they went down. Who's the they? Different Ashitas. Rashi here says the Kohanim and the Levim went down from the Ezras Yisrael, which was closer to the Kodesh Kodashim, went down to the Ezras Nashim, Umesaklanam Sham Tikkun Gadol, and they made a great tikkun there. What's the great tikkun? So that's tomorrow's daf. It's actually the bottom of today's daf, but we do that tomorrow. That they built this big balcony, as we'll talk about mechitza a little bit tomorrow. They built this tikkun gadol in order that the women should be able to be in the Beis HaMikdash as well, and everybody can take pace in the everybody can take part in the party. This is Shita the Rambam. When the Rambam quotes this line, he says that they made this whole structure, which we'll talk about again tomorrow, on Erev Yontif. So the Mefarshim, the Nosei Kalim say, but it says here, it sounds like the Pashas of our Gemara is that they were Mesakin this Tikkun Gadol on Matzoi, Yontif Achron Shel Chag. The Rambam says they did it Erev Yontif. So what's Mesakin and Tikkun Gadol? So the Aruch Laner asked that. He says, how does the Rambam read the Mishnah? It must be that they made the physical structure on Erev Yontif, but the Tikkun Gadol was the actual hafrasha between the men and the women, the priesthood, that they were separated. They put the men in one place and the women in another place. There wouldn't be the taroves, the Eruv genders. And that was the Tikkun Gadol. That was what they played. Imagine having millions and millions of Jews stuffed into this, they're happy to be stuffed in. They didn't complain about it. One of the Nisan of the Beis HaMikdash was into the Beis HaMikdash. So he says maybe that's how the Rambam reads the Gemara, that the Hafrasha itself, that Shehefrisha Hanashim Yanashim, that itself was the Tikkun Gadol. But again, more on that tomorrow. Continuing, Ubamot Minar Shalzav Hayisham, there were these huge lights that they put there. For Arbas Safalam Shalzav Barashayim, on the top of every candelabra light, they had four large cups of gold. There were ladders going up to each one. They had young kohanim going up and filling these lanterns with 120 lug of oil. Huge lights. And what they use in the lights? Mibabloi mechnasei kohanim. They used to use the old begadim of the Kohanim as wicks to light in these candles. There was not a chatzer in Jerusalem that was not lit from the light of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. It was very tall lights, and Rashi explains that the walls of the Har HaBayis weren't as tall, they didn't block it. All the yards of the Yerushalayim were lit from the light of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Some of the Rishonim ask, anything bother you about this line? Some of the Rishonim ask,
it's going down in
Kedusha. So how could they use these begadim for wicks? Isn't that a bizayin? Don't they require Geniza? Shouldn't you have to put them in Sheamus? So the Ritva asks this in Shabbos, where this Gemara comes up, Adaf Chaf Aleph. The Ritva says, V'im Tomar, Hechoyim Alikin, Mibigde Kahuna, L'simchas Beis HaShoeva, Doha Tashmishe Kedusha Nignazim. He assumes they're not just Tashmishe Mitzvah. Somebody called me up last night and says, what should I do with my Esrog? That's Tashmishe Mitzvah. So that, Mi'ikra Din, does not have to be Sheamus. You could make her din, you could put it in a plastic bag and dispose of it properly. But Tashmish Kedusha, which is usually tefillin, mezuzah, sefer Torah, or anything connected, that is, that has inherent value, inherent Kedusha, therefore has to be buried. Sefer Yasta Ritva, don't the Big Day Kohanim have that value too? So says the Ritva, v'yeshlomar, dekivan desimchas beis ha-shoeva mitzvah hi, v'sreifasam l'tzorach mitzvah, ein l'cha geniza kamoha. This is geniza. This is like Seamus. This is better than Seamus, says the Ritva. Using it for a mitzvah, so that's greater than just putting it into the ground. That's using it for a dvar mitzvah. That's the shita of the Ritva. If you look in the Yerushalmi here, Yerushalmi has an interesting chilek. The Yerushalmi says, yes, all the begadim were used for the wicks, but the Big Day Kohen Gadol were used for wicks for the menorah. The Big Day Kohen Hedyot were used for the Simchas Pesach Shoeva. That's what the Yerushalmi says on our daf. So Big Day Kohen Gadol, Big Day Kohen Hedyot, so some of the parts of our body, what's the difference? Whether they're begadim or they're begadim. But if you look in the Rambam doesn't pass like this Yerushalmi, but it also has a chilak. He says the Big Day Kohen Gadol are not allowed to be used for anything. The Big Day Kohen Gadol have to be buried. That's the Shitas Rambam. If you look in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, the Rambam writes, Ubig de Kohen Gadol shebalu gonzin osan. The begadim of a Kohen Gadol cannot be used for anything. It sounds like even the four begadim that he shares with the Kohen Hedyot, even those have a different status. Michnase Kohenim Hedyotim shebalu. V'yavneitim hayozim psilus malikim bevimikdash besimchas beis ha-shoeva. So it sounds like from the Rambam, this is a larger issue, but just it sounds like from the Rambam that there might be a fundamental difference between the Kedusha of the Big Day Kohen Gadol and the Big Day Kohen Hedyot. Hopefully we'll talk about this more one day. The Big Day Kohen Gadol seem to have inherent Kedusha. And therefore, there's a mitzvah to be gonies osam. It says, yeah, after the Kohen Gadol, right, we had in Yuma, the begadim that the Kohen Gadol wore one Yom Kippur, he couldn't wear another Yom Kippur. He had to be buried. V'hinichum sham, malami shatu'un in geniza. So the Big Day Kohen Gadol have inherent value that achieves a certain kedusha. It's more a din in the Kohen himself. Masha'en kein, the begadim of the Kohen Hedyo, it's more of just a machshir for the avoda. And therefore, once the avodah is over, it's more like a tashrishe mitzvah, and therefore it would be able to be used for other purposes. So here too, this is one of the other purposes. They used to use it for the simchas beis ha-shoeva. Next, chasidim achi ma'isayim arakdim b'fneiem, the greatest tzaddikim used to dance in front of them, to dance in front of Klal Yisrael, bavuka shalar b'yadayhem, with fire. They used to dance with fire in their hands. Rashi explains they used to juggle. They used to throw fire up and throw it down, and he says, and there are some bakiyah that know how to do this, or four and five, but Rashi Mamish describes juggling. Very interesting. Bavuka shalar b'yadayhem. So if you're a gadol hadar, you not only have to know kol ha-torah kula and shas and poskim, you have to know how to juggle, right? You have to know how to juggle fire. V'omrim l'fneihem divrei shiuris v'sishbachos. And they used to say praises. The Gemara is going to talk about this. V'alavim b'kinoros and v'altayim u'masaltayim v'chatzosros. The Levim has had all these musical instruments. U'b'klei shir below mispar. Can't imagine how many musical instruments there were. Where the Levim used to stand, al chamesh esrei milos hayordos be'ez Yisrael ezos nashim. They used to stand on the 15 steps that went down from the Ezos Yisrael to the Ezos Nashim. What do you mean down? Because Har Habayis is on a mountain. Remember, so everything is a little bit down. We had a little bit in Maseches Pesachim. You know, they used to raise it. They used to have the walls used to be a little higher. That's why he used the lashon yardos. Keneged, these 15 steps, by the way, says the Mishnah, were keneged chamesh esrei hama'alos shebet tehillim. It's keneged the 15, the shir ha'malos that we say. That's keneged, this 15 steps there were keneged the 15 shir ha'malos. Sha'alehen, on those steps, levim omdi b'chle shir v'omim shira. Those 15 steps are where the levim used to stand and say Shira always, and also at the time of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Kohanim, two Kohanim used to stand at the gate, the Shara Niknor, that went down into the Ezros Nashim. And they had two trumpets that they were playing. Kara HaGever. Now we get to the process of the Nisach HaMayim. When the Gever, which either in a Machlokas and Yuma, whether this means the rooster or this means the announcer, the crier, when there was time in the morning to bring in to the water, Taka Bariva Taka, he used to cry out, they used to blow shofar. Higilamal Asiris, when they got to the 10th step, Taka Riva Taku, they stopped in the blue shofar again. Higil Azara, when they got to the Azara itself, Taka Riva Taku. So they blew shofar, as Tosfos said earlier, when we had it by Hoshana Rabbah, this is L'Shem Simcha. How you talking about Hokana Shemagin L'Shara Yosei Mimizrach? They blew shofar all the way until they came to the eastern gate. Higil L'Shara Yosei Mimizrach. And when they came to the Shah HaMizrach and they were going out, so then all of a sudden, Hafchu Panei HaMizrach LaMayrav, they turned their faces back towards the west, meaning back towards the Beis HaMikdash, on their way out, the Amru, and they said, our forefathers who were in this spot, they had their backs to you, Hashem. And they were facing east, they were bowing down to the sun. But us, Lashem Einenu. But our eyes are to Hashem, and therefore we turn around to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, HaYishonin V'Omrim, Anu Lashem V'Hashem Einenu. Rabbi Yehuda says, these say it twice. We are to you, Hashem, and to you, Hashem, are our eyes. So in the Yisam Achronim are bothered. You know, is it appropriate that on the way out, on the Nisach HaMayim, you're all of a sudden, you're faulting your forefathers? Now they were really bad, but you know, we're good. What exactly is meant by this? Some Achronim ask that. I see it here in the quoted from the Shoshanim LeDavid. So he says the answer is no. The problem is that when the Yishev, Shekivan Shayu Yotzim Achronim LaKodesh, it was more of a Maris Ayin issue. That once they're going out and they have their backs to the Beis HaMikdash, people might think that, you know, like there was this time in history that people used to do this. But it wasn't that they were really faulting their forefathers. And he's medayik. Look at Rashi. Look at the second to last Rashi on the Mishnah. Avoseinu bebayis harishon hayakofrin v'lo hayupaneim labayis elo achareim elaheichal Hashem v'chulu pasuk biyecheskel. Thank you very much, Rashi. Don't we know it's in Yecheskel? I mean, Rashi usually doesn't tell us this. Sometimes Rashi will say pasuk bemicha, one of the treyasar, but Yecheskel. Most of us are familiar with the Yechezkel. So what is he quoting that? So he suggests, the Sefer suggests that this whole line over here is really a quote from a Pasuk. So it's not really faulting the earlier generations. But there's a Maris Ayin issue that this whole big, large amount of people are walking out of the Beis HaMikdash. They're all at their backs to the Beis HaMikdash. I guess it would be hard for everybody to turn around and walk out backwards. You have all these people walking there. So it kind of looks funny that they have their backs to the Kodesh Kodashim. So they turn around for a minute and they say this Pasuk in Yecheskel, which has to do with earlier generations not acting properly, but really it's not a real personal attack to their forefathers. Because really it's just a quoting from a Pasuk. And that's the Diak and Rashi that is quoting from a Pasuk. Okay, Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Misha lo ra'a simchas beit ha-shoeva, lo ra'a simcha b'yamav. Whoever never saw the simchas beit ha-shoeva never really saw simcha. Misha lo ra'a Yerushalayim b'tif'arta, lo ra'a krach nechman me'olam. Whoever never saw Yerushalayim in its glory never saw what a beautiful city looks like. You got to see Yerushalayim. Oh, today's Shir Shal Yom. Right, today's Shir Shal Yom. We talked, it was all about Yerushalayim today. Misos kala'aretz, yifei no pesos kala'aretz, is all about Yerushalayim today. Misha la ra, simchas beis hamikdash bebinyano, la ra binyam before me'olam. Whoever never saw the beis hamikdash never saw a beautiful building. So it is the simcha, beis hashoeva, Yerushalayim, and the beis hamikdash. Mahi, which beis hamikdash are we talking about? Rashi explains, are we talking about the one of Shlomo, the first base of Migdash, or the one of Nehemiah ben Chikliya, means that the one Ezra, the second base of Migdash, or the one of Herdus, which is when he expanded the second base of Migdash. Which one is being referred to in this Chazal that it's so beautiful? Amar Abai, Vitemer, Chizda, Zubinian, Herdus. It's the last one. But my Banye, what did Herdus, how did Herdus build the base of Migdash? Amar Rava, Ba'avne Shisha Umarmura, with marble stones, and marmor, Rashi explains, is Shaisha, he says, it's colorful marble, yarok, green marble, umarmara is white marble. Ikadamri, or some say, ba'avne shisha, kuklu umarmara. Some say it's white, blue, and green marble. Beautiful, all these different colors. Afik safa, va'ayil safa, ge'echid l'kabel sida. And he also put the stones on top of each other in a way that when they put the cement in between, you wouldn't be able to see the cement. It would be just look like stones, a beautiful edifice of marble. Savar lemish ein bedava. He even wanted to cover the entire walls of the Beis HaMikdash with gold. Gold plate the entire Beis HaMikdash. Amulei Rabbanan Shavke. The Rabbanan say, no, leave it. Tahachi Shavar Tvei. No, the marble color is better. The mischazi ka'adusa demaya. The yama. Because it looks like waves. Looks like waves with this blue and the white. It looks like waves. And therefore, that's better than just having gold. So why waves? Why is that a good thing? So I thought maybe it could be connected to what we said yesterday. The part about the Nisach HaMayim and that the water, the waves, symbolize yearning up to go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the bicep braces, they were forced to go down, they were separated, and waves symbolize going back up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when you cut to the Beis HaMikdash, you see these waves, you're like, oh, you know, that's what coming to the Beis HaMikdash is all about. Could be like Tchelos also, I was thinking that too, right? Tchelos, Dom Aliyam, Dom Lorakiyah, Dom Lakisiyah Kabbat. So maybe it's connected to Tchelos as well. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Keep in mind the author here, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishalo Raha. So we're talking about Mishalo Ra, so we'll say another one. Mishalo Ra, Diophalostone, Shalachzandria, Shamitzrayim. Whoever never saw this Diophalostone, Rashi explains where that comes from. It means, Rashi says, Do is from the word two. Phalos means noble. Stone, Mistav, it means the benches. The place where there were these double benches for the noblemen in Alexandria and Mitzrayim, never saw Bechvodah Shei Yisrael. And we're about to describe these gorgeous, huge shuls that were in Alexandria, famous Gemara about the flags right here. So whoever never saw these beautiful places in Mitzrayim never saw the covenant of the Jews. Amru, what were they? Kimin Basilki Gedola Haisa. There were these huge basilicas. Stav, Lefnimi Stav, double rows of benches. Pamim Shahayu Ba. Sometimes there were, the girls on the side, is Shishim Rebo. Sometimes there were 600,000 people. Kiyotze Mitzrayim, like the people who went out of Mitzrayim. The Amri La, Kiflayim Kiyotze Mitzrayim. Some say there were 1.2 million. Try to imagine if this is not an exaggeration. Maybe it is an exaggeration, but if it's not, 600,000 people in one room, or 1.2 million, has there ever been that, you know, in one building, not just like in an open place, in a building. So either way, it was a huge amount of people. There were 71 special chairs, katadros, like thrones of gold, keneged the 71 Sanhedrin agadol. Why? Rashi says, Asu Sanhedrin. Fourth to last skinny line in Rashi. They made a Sanhedrin. So that's what all the greatest rabbis of the generation, like they're trying to make a Sanhedrin today, they made a Sanhedrin out in Mitzrayim. And that's where they used to sit on these special thrones. Just one ha'ara on Tosfos with the Vilna Gaon. Tosfos says that, who's talking here? Rabbi Yehuda. If you look at Masechet Sanhedrin in the first parak, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Sanhedrin was 70, not 71. The first paragraph of the Sanhedrin, talking about the rabbi, we learned it a couple of years ago. 70. So what do you mean, why 71 here? So Tosfos says, Umitoch ka tema, Tosfos says in the third line, Hatan parakam of the Sanhedrin, Zerujal Haizashal Shivim v'yachod, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shivim, Imkin Havi Lelasos Rak Shivim, you should have 70 chairs. Umitoch ka tzarech lefareish, Sheosa katadra haizah lemuflash v'bezdin. No, so it says, it must be, says Tosfos, according to Yehuda, that was for the chief justice. He wasn't counted in the 70. He was the muflash v'bezdin. But he wasn't part of the 70. Because if you don't give this answer, you're going to have a seer in Rabbi Yehuda. Ask the Vilna Gaon. What's that last line of Tosfos doing there? Tosfos never does that. Tosfos asks a kasha, he gives an answer, and then it never says, because if you don't give this answer, you're going to be stuck with the kasha. That's not you. What is Tosfos doing? So in the Kol Aliyahu, he has one ha'ara on Masechah Sukkah. Here it is. He says, what's Tosfos doing? What's that last line of Tosfos? So he says, really, you have to know another sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. We had in Maseches Yuma, if you remember, a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir on Daf Nun Hey, where the Gemara there says, Mar ki Asrei u Mar ki Asrei. It's talking about the Achas v'Achas, Achas u'Shtayim, and Rabbi Yehuda, there's a machlokas there. What do you say first? Do you say the Prat, or do you say the Klal first? You say the big number or the small number? So it's machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says you say the small number first. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Rabbi Meir says you say the big number first, but Rabbi Yehuda always says the small number first. So there's another kasha on this opinion. It says shivim v'yechad. It should say echad v'shivim. If it's 71, it should be echad v'shivim, not shivim v'yechad according to Rabbi Yehuda. It should be echad v'shivim. You always say the small number first. Gemara in Yuma says it b'feirish according to Rabbi Yehuda. So it says the Vilna Gaon. Tosfos answers both kashas. Why? Because that one, first of all, it has to be 70. That's the Iker. That one is Mufalash of Abazin. It's not in this minion. It's two separate things. The 70 of the Sanhedrin and one. That's what Tosfos is alluding to at the last line. He says, because if you don't get this answer, you're going to have another kasha. You're going to have the kasha of the Lashon of the 70 and the one. It should be one and the 70. Says the Gemara, that's what's being alluded to. Shuv Eino Sozer is Asim B'Diburo. Because if you don't get this answer, Rabbi Yehuda's Lashon is not going to make sense. So that's the extra line in the Tosfos. And that's the Gemara. Dvarim Muflayim, quoting that Gemara, here to explain our Tosfos. Okay. So there were these 70 chairs, or 71 chairs in the shul. Kol achas v'achas ene pechusim yesem echad ribo kikarizav. Each chair was not less than 21 golden pieces. Ubima shalais b'emseisa. And there was the wooden bima in the middle. In the middle there was a wooden bima. The Rambam quotes this. in Hilchas Tfila that the bima is supposed to be in the middle of the shul, Kadesha Yishmu Kulon. That's what the Rambam says. The Kesef Mishnah on that Rambam in Hilchas Tfila says, a lot of our shuls don't have the bima in the middle. It says the Kesef Mishnah, it must be that only if there's a very large shul and you want everybody to hear, the bima should be in the middle. But if our smaller shul, says the Kesef Mishnah, Babo Nusenu HaRabim, we don't have so many big shuls anymore. So therefore, it must be, that's why we don't have it in the middle. That's what the Kesef Mishnah says. But if you look in the Ramah, in Simin Kuf Nun, the Ramah writes, Osin Bima Be'emsa Be'sakneses, Sheyamad Ala Kori Betorah, Ve'yishma'u Kulam. That's what the Ramah says. And you look in the Bir Halacha here, Uba'avonosenu HaRabim, Be'eze Mekomos, Partsu Minak Kedumim Zeh, this Minak has been washed away, Ve'eschilu Lassos Abimos Samach La'aron Kodesh. There have been new shul, says the Chafetz Chaim, that they start making the bimas next to the Aron. Because you look at all the churches, where's the action by the churches? It's right in the front. It's right in the front. So the Mishnah Berurah says that many shuls are trying to follow those minhagim, in quotes, and it's terrible. And he says that's an isser of Chusein Moseleich, when he says, Ayein in the Chuvas Chassam Sofer. Sam Sofer has a big shuva about this. We've mentioned this shuva before in Simon Chavches, where he says the reason that it's in the middle is not just supposed to be that everybody hears, but it's Dumi de Mizbeach. Dumi de Mizbeach. You walk around the Mizbeach, you walk around the Bima, just like they walked around the Mizbeach. It was right in the middle of the Beis HaMikdash, in the middle of semi in the middle. So therefore, the Chassam Sofer is Charif, obviously, at the beginning of the Reform movement. That's what he was one of the main protagonists to try to stop them. So he says it's an isser. You can't move the bima. Sam Sofer says that Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva in Beis Mem Aleph and Aleph Mem Aleph, both of those tshuvas. He says as long as there's some space to go around, that people sit, there are some people sitting in front of the bima, it's okay. Even the Chassam Sofer would agree it's okay. If it's there, because then everybody could hear. If it's huge shul, you got to have it in the middle, says Rav Moshe, because you have to have everybody, let everybody hear. But he says, if not, he says it doesn't have to be exactly in the middle. Even the Chassam Sofer would agree, as long as it's not flush up against the Arun, because that's the problem. That's what the churches are like, and that's what they're trying to copy. But the source is our Gemara, right? Where it says the bima was in the middle. So what happens? The Gabbai thinks he has a tough job today. The Gabbai used to stand on the bima with handkerchiefs in his hand. And once it was time to say Amen, he used to wave the handkerchiefs. And everybody used to answer Amen. Because they saw the handkerchiefs, because they couldn't hear the chazan. Right, also the Chida notes here, it's mashma that Barovam Hadras Melech. It's better to have a large shul that you can't hear everything exactly, rather than make different minyanim. But it says here that he used to do that, and they used to answer Amen. Tosfos on the next page, Amud Aleph, which is a Tosfos that relates to our Gemara, says, it must be this is not a talking about a bracha that you have to be yotze. Because if it's a bracha that you have to be yotze, you have to hear the bracha. Right, or else it would be called an Amen Yosoma. So it must be that you don't have to be yotze with this bracha, because or else you would have to hear it. V'lohayo yoshvin mu'ravin, and also, says the Gemara, they didn't sit all mixed up, but they sat, amazing, look at this, they sat by profession. Elazahavim bifnei atzman, all the goat, there was a goldsmith section in the shul, the kaspsafim bifnei atzman, the nafachim bifnei atzman, the blacksmith, the tarsiyim bifnei atzman, the coppersmiths, the gardiyim bifnei atzman, the weavers, they all sat by profession. Why did they sit by profession? So I saw in the Biurei Hadaf, maybe this could solve some problems in some shuls. In the Biurei Hadaf, he quotes from the Nachle Dvash. I don't know who that is. The Gemara says, kol umnis, the language of the Gemara is, that call uman soni bnei umnaso. Every person hates the people in his profession, right? Because there's this competition. So they dafka sat next to people in their profession, so they wouldn't talk. They dafka, so that's why they dafka. They wanted to prevent the schmoozing in shul. So they dafka sat here. So lachara, you could just say just the opposite. You know, sitting with your professions, that's even more difficult. You know, how was your case? How was your case today? This and that. But here dafka, he says, the dafka use this for shem shemai. Okay, Uksha'ani Nichnasham, you gotta put that one out on the bulletin boards. Uksha'ani Nichnasham, and when an Ani used to walk into shul, he used to know where to go to sit, depending on his profession. Hayamakir Bali Umasov Nifnilsham, Umisham Parnasas Yebesa. The Gemara even sounds like it was a good thing, because he got Parnasa from there. He used to ask them, you have any business for me? You have any, he used to speak to the people of his profession. Amar Abayo, Vikulu Katlinu Alexandris Mokdon. The whole community was wiped out by Alexander Mokdon. So Alexander Mokdon is Alexander the Great. There's a big discussion here in the post-skim that Alexander the Great was much earlier. He started Alexandria. He didn't wipe out Alexandria. So that's the Gra here, changes the Girsa to Tarkinos. the different later emperor, the Marav Ronsberg here quotes the Barbanel, that it can't be Alexander the Great. It's a later Alexander, Alexander Kesar, that lived 150 years after the Churban Abayis. So the Mepharshim point out here that historically it can't be Alexander the Great who destroyed this community, either Nitzvan Alexander or a different emperor. My Tami Yanshi. So why was this community punished? So why was it wiped out? What did they do? Mishum Da'avi B'haikra, because they violated the following pasuk. Lo sasifan l'shuba derech hazeod. Right? The pasuk says, later in Sefer Dvarim, that you're not allowed to live in Mitzrayim. Lo sasifan b'derech hazeod. Ve'inu hadrasim. And they came back to Mitzrayim. Obviously, this wasn't their only chait, but this was a major chait, says the Gemara. And therefore, that is why they were punished. Let's just get up to the two dots. Ki asu hashkachinu da'avi kara b'sifra. Yis Hashem alecha goy me'rachok. When this emperor, whoever it was, came, so he said that they saw that they were learning this pasuk, that Hashem's going to bring a nation from far away. So he says, Amar, it must be me. Hahu gavra boy lemese sefinta asar yomi. My boat should have taken 10 days to come here. Dal yazik avasi sefinta ba chamshi yomi. And there was a great wind, and I came here in 5 days. It must be that God wants me to come. Nafa alayu v'katzlinu, and therefore he wiped them out. So that is what the story of Alexander. There's a big discussion here about living in Mitzrayim. But the issue of living in Mitzrayim, how is it that they lived in Mitzrayim? How is it that the Rambam signed some, what is the famous letter of the Rambam, but the Rambam writes, Moshe ben Maimon, who's living in sin, who commits so many this many averos every day of my life, because he lived in Mitzrayim for many years. So how is it possible that he lived in Mitzrayim? Just one more minute. So the different approaches of the Rishonim. The Rishonim already are bothered by it. The Radvaz on that Rambam, Nilchus Malachim, asked this. How is it possible that so many people, and me also, says the Radvaz, you know, how is it possible that we live in Mitzrayim in so many communities? So, different answers. Number one is maybe the Isser is only going back the same exact way from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, following the same paths. If you don't follow the same exact path, then there is no Isser. Number one. Number two, maybe the places in Mitzrayim aren't the same exact places as were then. Number two. Number three, maybe the Isser is only to go live there permanently. But if you only go live there temporarily, and you end up staying there permanently, maybe that's not such as an Avera, as much. But then he says, Im tomar tikshi l'rabbeinu, nishakal Mitzrayim. The Radvaz says, how could the Rambam live there? So v'yesh lomar, maybe, says the Radvaz, he was anus. He was the Sultan's doctor. And he couldn't leave. The Sultan needed him. He was the Sultan's doctor. He wasn't going to be able to leave. So every reason, maybe there's no problem. Anu asafi amalchus, shaya rofe lomelech v'hasarim. V'gamaninis yashavti sham, says the Radvaz, zman meruba lil motara ulalamda. V'kavati sham yeshiva. V'chiyai gavna mutter. V'shuv basi l'Yerushalayim. He says, I came back. But he says, this is a big discussion in the postgame, fascinating topic about living in Mitzrayim. The Rabbeinu Bachai al Torah says maybe it only applied Bisman earlier when there were all these Toevas in Mitzrayim. That was the Mecca of impurity in the world. But after that, maybe it doesn't apply anymore, Bisman Hazeb. But obviously there's something wrong with it because these people of Alexandria seem to be faulted. Again, a lot of discussions that we had today. We could talk more about the beam in the middle and the issue of living in Mitzrayim. But we'll stop here. Father Shem, we'll continue tomorrow with more Agadata about various topics. Agun Chodesh. Agun Chodesh. The light of Torah lights up Cheshvan. It's not Mar Cheshvan when it has Torah. There's no Mar when there's Torah involved. Okay.